This is Henry Sun, bringing you another story from my files here at the Missing Persons Bureau.
In these stories of the Missing Persons Bureau, dramatized for Henry Simon by Ross Napier, names and addresses have, for obvious reasons, been changed. In one moment, the search for Franz Buller. Address unknown.
Hello, this is Grace Gibson, and tonight I know you will enjoy listening to Address Unknown. This is not a Grace Gibson production, but it is one that should be heard in the series, as it rated as one of the biggest hits among radio dramas of the 1950s. Address Unknown features stories from the Missing Persons Bureau. Although it was set in London, many people wrote to Henry Simon, who narrates or tells the stories, requesting his help to find relatives or friends throughout Australia. The casting was absolutely perfect. Henry Simon was played by Lionel Stevens, who made a perfect Englishman, with Hart McGuire, an American, and Joe McCormick, a Canadian, as the brash young agents who got the information they wanted any way they could. Henry Simon often disapproved. There was a lot of color in the show, and as it was produced only a few years after the Second World War, a lot of the cases were about missing servicemen. It's such a story you will now hear.
And here again is Henry Simon.
Masters had no idea how long he'd been in the water. The last thing he remembered was the fleeting sensation of being hurled through the air. A sharp jerk as his parachute had opened. Then darkness. He had no feeling in his legs, and his right arm was numb from the elbow down. The water was cold. If he wasn't fished out soon, certainly before nightfall, it was curtains. He felt no pain, fortunately. His vision was blurred, and there was a throbbing in his head. But his mind was as clear as a bell. He wished it wasn't. He wished he'd never regained consciousness. It would all have been so much simpler. Simpler still if he hadn't been wearing a life jacket, or if his parachute hadn't opened. Suddenly he felt an overwhelming weariness. His eyes closed, and he no longer cared. If this was death, then death was sweet. Goodbye, sea. Goodbye, sky. Peace. Blessed oblivion.
Würde Ruhe, alter Junge. Siehst gar nicht gut aus. Da, versuch mal ein bisschen von dem. Trink. Guter Junge. Nur schön ruhig jetzt. Besser?
Who the blazes are you?
My name is Franz Buller.
You're
a... Yes, I'm a German. But do not worry. I bear no grudge against you. No, lie still. You are too weak to sit up.
Where are we?
We are in the North Sea. To the east is the Danish coast, about 50 miles away, I would estimate. If luck is with us, we will be picked up by noon tomorrow. That is, luck will be with one of us. The other will be a prisoner of war.
Masters could just make out the whiteness of his rescuer's teeth. They appeared to be on some form of raft, but he was too dazed to be certain. Again, consciousness deserted him. When next his eyes opened, the sun was high. He could feel its warmth upon his face. Raising his head, he looked about him. The raft was about 10 feet square, something of the type he'd seen lashed to the decks of Scandinavian fishing boats. And sitting beside him was a man who was clad only in shorts, with long, fair hair and a lean, brown body, his bare feet dangling in the water.
Good morning, Orm, then. You sleep well, yeah?
How long have we been on this thing?
Since yesterday. Now it is tomorrow. I pulled you from the water just in time, I think. At first, I'm sure you're dead. I'm about to throw you back again. Then you are opening your eyes, and I'm knowing that you're alive.
You shot down, too?
Nine. The ship I'm on, she's sunk by torpedoes from the air. The small oil tanker. There is no one else to be saved. My comrades, they are all dead, I think. You're a fighter pilot, yeah?
I was a fighter pilot.
You choose a bad spot to jump out. The water, she's very cold.
Oh, I needed the exercise.
It is good to see you have not lost your sense of humor.
Yours doesn't seem to have suffered much damage either.
Perhaps I needed the exercise, too. She is a crazy business, this war.
I'd give something to know what's wrong with my legs. I can't move them. My right arm's gone on me, too.
Help will come soon. I feel it.
Your side or mine?
Who knows?
What's the idea of leaving your feet in the water? Are you trying to feed them solid or something?
It's to clot the blood.
Blood?
I cut my feet. It's nothing.
They've been bleeding all this time?
They stop. They start again. You see?
Yeah, you need a doctor pretty badly yourself.
I will live. It's a glorious day, huh?
Yeah, it could be worse. I'm afraid I'm not in much of a mood.
Wait.
What is it?
Do I not hear a plane? Yeah, look.
Can you make it out?
It's a Junkers.
Just my luck.
He has seen us. He's flying over. Did I not tell you help would come?
Help of the wrong kind.
Wrong for you. But be of good heart, my friend. You will be well taken care of. And the war, she will not last long. Already we have won. It's just that you stubborn British refuse to realize it.
Some hours later, the two men were picked up by a German patrol boat and conveyed to the port of Esbjerg on the Danish coast. There, Masters was formally taken into custody and duly transported to a prison camp near Bremen, where he spent several months in hospital, gradually regaining the use of his paralyzed limbs, which had been very badly jarred, but had suffered no serious injury. On his recovery, he was transferred to Stahlag Luft 7 in Wiesbaden, and there spent the remaining 3 years of the war. For the Missing Persons Bureau, this case had its beginning in the October of 1947, when I was visited here in my office by Masters himself, who recounted the story of his rescue and subsequent survival, stating that he was very anxious to locate the man who had saved his life.
I can't tell you much about him, Mr. Simon, except that he was a German sailor, possibly attached to the merchant service.
And his name was Franz Buller?
Well, that's what he said.
Why is it you want him traced exactly?
Well, for one thing, he's responsible for my being alive today, and for another, he made my stay in the prison camp a good deal easier than it might have been.
Oh? In what way?
Well, every 6 weeks or so, without a miss, he sent me a food parcel. Or, if he didn't send it himself, he had someone send it for me.
To the prison camp?
Yes.
This went on for the whole 3 years you were there?
Till about 6 months before the end.
Did he accompany the parcels with a letter?
No, sometimes he'd write a few words in the card, such as, chin up, or hope you're getting on all right, but usually there was just a parcel.
Oh, very odd.
The only explanation I can think of is that, having saved my life, he must have felt in some way responsible for my well-being. Now, Lord knows why. I wasn't particularly gracious to him. For that matter, I don't even remember saying thanks. After the patrol boat picked us up, I didn't have much opportunity. And when we docked in Esbjerg, there was a truck waiting to collect him. I saw him shaking hands with some army officer. He jumped on, threw me a wave, and that's the last I saw of him.
You're quite sure he was a sailor?
Well, he definitely gave me that impression. Certainly he was on a ship that was sunk. He'd hardly have been floating about in the North Sea on a raft for, well, for exercise.
What age would he have been?
Well, about 30. A very fine-looking chap. Tall, blonde hair. Prussian, I'd say.
Hmm. Do you merely wish to thank him for what he did, or have you something more tangible in mind?
Well, some of these fellows got a pretty raw deal after the surrender. Strikes me the least I can do is see how he's making out. Perhaps put in a good word for him, give him a helping hand. Well, assuming he's still alive, that is.
Quite. He didn't tell you anything at all about himself, I suppose?
Unfortunately, no.
You mentioned something about his feet being rather badly cut about.
Oh, yes. They were deeply gashed in a line above the toes, as if he'd caught them on something sharp. He'd lost a fair whack of blood. It didn't seem to bother him. He was full of beams the whole time.
He wasn't wearing any sort of uniform?
No, just a pair of dark grey shorts.
Was he an educated man?
Oh, yes, I'd say so. He spoke English very well for a German.
You made no inquiries yourself, I take it?
Well, no. I wouldn't know where to start.
I do think military intelligence might be about the best bet. If you'll just let me have a few more routine particulars, I'll give them a ring right away. Following my client's departure, I put through a telephone call to Major Ralph Thomas of military intelligence. A reliable and trusted contact, he in turn consulted his files and then came up with some very interesting information.
Franz Buller, spelt B-U-L-L-E-R?
Presumably.
I have three of them listed here.
All the same name?
Yes, only one naval man, though.
Naval proper?
Buller, Franz Ernst, Commander U-606.
A U-boat captain?
Originally, July 42, relieved of active command, appointed instructor-in-chief, Naval School, Schleswig.
Naval School? What of U-606?
Sunk off Ostend, April 42.
It was in April that he picked up masters.
Oh, that checks nicely, then.
Except, of course, that submarines don't normally carry rafts.
Hmm?
Fellow's on a raft. That's why we assume that he was in the merchant service. He told masters his ship had been sunk by aerial torpedoes, and that he was the only survivor.
Well, that sounds a trifle on the fishy side to me, if you'll pardon the expression.
Be that as it may, the fact remains...
Well, I can only tell you what's down here.
Yes. What else do you have on him?
Well, nothing of much consequence. So far as the records show, he's still alive... But where he might be is anybody's guess.
He wasn't picked up after the war?
Apparently not. In any case, his slate's quite clean. We'd have no grounds for bringing him to trial, or even holding him for that matter.
There's no address listed for him, I suppose?
All it says here is Berlin. If I might make a suggestion, though, I'd say your wisest course might be to try and contact a few of his old colleagues in the naval school. He held the position of instructor-in-chief, which means he'd have had one or two men under him at least. Now, if you could trace them...
My dear fellow, we've no idea at all who they might have been. Unless you have some means of finding out.
Well, I could try.
I'd be very grateful indeed if you would.
Fine. Well, give me an hour or so. I'll ring you back.
Simon?
Hello, Henry. Ralph Thomas here again.
Yes, Ralph?
I think I might have something. In November 45, the Americans picked up a fellow named Fritz Adlersloss in Hamburg. He was attempting to organize some form of resistance against the Allied forces after the surrender. Got 2 years, which means he's still on the inside.
Well, what about him?
Well, according to his credentials, he was formerly a naval officer attached to the same school Buller was in Schleswig.
They were both there at the same time?
As instructors, yes, for over 12 months.
Very interesting. Where's he being held?
The Yanks have him in a prison camp at Kesselmund. But if you want to question him, you'd better make it quick.
Oh?
He is due to be released at the end of this week.
Henry Simon returns to continue this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
As speed was of the essence, I dispatched Agent Bob Hunter to Kesselmund on the first available plane. On his arrival, a little after noon the following day, Hunter went direct to military headquarters in Wittenstrasse, where he duly obtained a permit to visit the prison camp in which Fritz Adlersloss was serving the final days of his 2-year term. Later, in the presence of a woman interpreter, the agent interviewed Adlersloss in his cell.
From 1942 to 1944, you were attached to the Naval School of Schleswig, is that right?
Von 1942 bis 1944 waren Sie der Marineschule in Schleswig zugeteilt, nicht wahr?
Ja. Ich war ein Unterrichtsoffizier dort.
He says he was an instructor there.
Mm-hmm. Ich bin im Juni 1944 vom aktiven Dienst zurückversetzt worden.
He was transferred back to active service in June 1944.
Ask him, does he remember Franz Buller, the instructor in chief there?
Können Sie sich an Franz Buller, den Hauptunterrichtsoffizier, erinnern?
Gewiss, ich kannte ihn sehr gut.
He knew him well.
Is he any idea where he might be now?
Haben Sie eine Ahnung, wo er jetzt sein mag?
Nein, keine Ahnung.
Wo war er zu Hause?
In Bremstadt. Er hatte seinerzeit eine Wohnung in Berlin, aber sein Heim war in Bremstadt.
What'd you say?
He doesn't know where he might be. He had a flat in Berlin at one time, but his home was in Bremstadt.
Where in Bremstadt?
Wo in Bremstadt?
Ich weiß es nicht. Er hat mit seinen Eltern gelebt. Sein Vater war der dortige Bürgermeister.
He can't tell you where, but he lived with his parents. His father was the Bürgermeister there.
Bürgermeister of Bremstadt, huh?
So he says.
Well, that could simplify matters considerably. Yeah, tell him thanks. Thanks a lot.
Journeying from Kasselmund to Bremstadt, some 70 miles south by train, Hunter went direct to the town post office, where he questioned the clerk in charge, a fat, jolly-faced official with a large nose and several chins, who obviously took a great delight in airing his knowledge of the English language, which at best was somewhat sketchy.
Yeah, I was speaking the English very excellent. Once when I'm small boy at the school, I'm winning the prize for parlez-vous, the best English of the class.
Oh, in that case, you're just the guy I'm looking for. Name Buller. Does it mean anything to you?
Buller.
Yeah, I understand he used to be the Bürgermeister of Bremstadt.
Oh, you talk of old Martin Buller, yeah.
Well, he had a son, Franz.
Yeah. Je suis knowing well their family before the war. Old Martin is a good friend of Akmar.
Yeah, well, is he still living in Bremstadt?
Nein, he's dead since many years. Uh-huh. In the war, Buller drop a bomb on his house, nothing is left.
Well, what about his family?
Oh, Franz is away fighting, and Inge, she's in a heavy job in München.
Inge?
Yeah, the daughter.
There were only the two children?
Yeah, Martin and Frau Buller, they're both killed.
Well, do you know if Franz ever came back here after the war?
Nein, ich glaube nicht. There's nothing for him to come back to.
Yeah. Well, do you have any notion where he might be, where I could kind of contact him?
Nein. For all I have knowledge, he too may be dead.
Right. Can you think of anybody you might know?
Is Herr Fingel? He is close friend to old Martin.
Herr Fingel?
Hugo, allez-vous, Linkstraße auf Marienplatz is the große house on the corner. Yeah. He lives there alone with himself. You're taking the omnibus from the station right to the front door.
Buller, yeah, fine young man. When he was a boy, I took him many times to fish in the stream beyond the fields. Then he grows up and goes off to war.
Well, have you got any idea where he might be now?
Nein, he does not come back.
What about his sister, Inga?
She goes to München to take a job.
That was in the early part of the war, huh?
Yeah.
Was she still there, Inga?
I'm told she is now married to an American soldier.
In Munich?
Yeah, he is of the occupation army.
Hmm. Where'd you hear this?
Frau Knocke tells me.
Frau Knocke?
She and Inge grew up together.
Oh, I see.
I do not know if they are still in touch. You will have to ask her that.
Oh, she lives near here?
With her husband and small son. They have a flat in the block along the street. Come, I will point it out to you.
That is so, Herr Hunter. Inge and I were close friends for many years. From the time we were at school together till she left Bremstadt to take a job in München.
That was in 1940.
Late 1940, early 1941.
Mm-hmm. Their parents were killed a year or so later.
Yeah.
What about Franz?
Of Franz, I know nothing. The last I heard, he was at a training school somewhere.
At Schleswig.
Schleswig, yeah. Mm.
Listen, getting back to Inge, have you kept in touch with her?
Nein. I've heard nothing from her for years.
So, well, what's all this about her getting married to an American soldier?
This I was told in a letter from my brother Karl. He too is living in München. He met her in the street one day and she told him.
Well, would he know where she's living?
Perhaps. He did not say.
Where could I get in touch with him?
His address is 78 Schneekoppe Straße, Plaunschweig.
From Bremstadt, Hunter traveled 200 miles southeast of Munich and the outlying suburb of Plaunschweig. On his arrival at number 78 Schneekoppe Straße, a modest brick bungalow next to a church, Hunter was greeted by Karl Hoffmann, the brother of Ilse Knocker, who, as fortune would have it, had the afternoon off from his job in the city and was in the process of weeding the small garden at the back of the house. He, too, spoke fluent English and was quick to answer the agent's questions.
Yeah, Herr Hunter. It was a few days before Christmas last. I was in town shopping for gifts, and who should I run into but little Inge? At first, I did not recognize her. She had grown so tall and so good-looking. I had not seen her since before the war. Uh-huh. She said hello and told me who she was, and I could hardly believe it.
She also told you she was married to an American soldier, didn't she?
Yeah. I do not remember his name, but she said they had a cottage in Albrecht on the banks of Lake Elk. He was an officer, a captain, I think.
Well, did she happen to mention her brother, Franz?
I cannot recall. We spoke of so many things that is difficult to remember. I did not know Franz well. He was a few years older than I. However, if you wish to contact her, the American army people could probably assist you.
Yeah, well, many thanks, Herr Hoffmann. You've been a big help.
At U.S. Army headquarters in Kaiserstrasse, Hunter sought out one Major Errol Strange, an old acquaintance and friend he'd known for quite a number of years, who had been stationed in Munich since early in 1946.
Yeah, that makes half home, Bob.
Well, thanks, I'll do that. But first, I want some information.
Oh, I might have guessed. Regarding what?
Well, it's a certain American officer, probably a captain, who married a German girl named Inge Buller.
Say, not Jimmy Stratton.
Who's he?
Been here as long as I have. He's a captain, has a German wife.
Name of Inge?
Yeah, I would know her maiden name, though.
Well, they don't happen to have a cottage in Albrecht, do they?
Why, they surely do, down by the lake. I went over for dinner once. It's quite a neat little joint.
Good. How do I get there?
If you like, I'll run you out in the Jeep. Have to leave you there, though. I'm due back on duty at 3.
No, that's okay.
Jim is in Frankfurt for a few days, but Inge should be home.
Fine. Let's go.
Inge Stratton was tall and blonde, unusually attractive, with large blue eyes and well-shaped Nordic features. She received the agent cordially, readily identifying herself as the sister of our quarry.
You have me curious, Mr. Hunter. What is your business with France? Or is that a question you'd rather not answer?
Oh, no, that's quite simple. During the war, he saved the life of a British flyer. He was...
Not the one who was taken prisoner.
Yeah, that's right. Name of Masters.
Alan Masters, oh. Yes.
Mm. Oh, you knew about him?
Franz told me.
Oh, I see. Well, Alan Masters, he wants Franz located. You know, kind of thank him, maybe repay him in some way.
Oh, but how very kind of him.
Oh, yes, he feels it's the least he can do. And apart from saving his life, your brother sent him food packages regularly. The whole time he was in the prison camp.
He did receive them, then?
Oh, yeah, he got them all right.
I had no way of knowing for sure. You see, Mr. Hunter, it was I who sent them.
Well, what do you mean it was you who sent them?
Well, Franz wrote and asked me if I would.
Oh.
At the time, I had a good job, and I was able to obtain as much food as I wanted.
Well, wait a minute. Some of the parcels had notes in them signed by him.
No. Signed by me on his behalf.
I see. Well, whichever one of you sent him, it was certainly a swell gesture and was greatly appreciated.
I'm glad.
Yeah, one thing that kind of puzzles me, how your brother came to be drifting about the North Sea in a raft. He was a U-boat commander, wasn't he?
The U-boat was sunk. He and some of his men were rescued by a German oil tanker.
Mm-hmm.
A few hours later, the tanker itself was sunk. Franz was washed overboard in the initial blast. And a few minutes later, the whole vessel exploded. He was the sole survivor.
Oh, where'd this raft come from?
Oh, there were four of them lashed to the decks for emergencies. One of them must have come loose. Mm. Franz said he was in the water for hours before he saw it floating quite close to him. It was not long after that he picked up Alan Masters.
I see.
On his return to Germany, he was transferred to shore duty. His feet had been injured. He was unable to walk properly again. So they gave him a job as instructor at the naval school at Schleswig.
Where he remained for the rest of the war?
Almost. A few months before the end, the school was badly damaged in an air raid. A large section of it was wiped out.
Yeah?
They searched the ruins for his body, but no trace was ever found.
Henry Simon returns to conclude this story in just a moment. And here again is Henry Simon.
Inger Stratton's information was later verified by military intelligence. Although his death had never been officially recorded, presumably because of the chaos that ensued, Franz Buller had met his end when the naval school at Schleswig was bombed, just a few months before the German capitulation. His body had never been recovered, but there can be no doubt whatever of his fate. Twice he'd escaped death by a hair's breadth. The third time, his luck had run out. And now, as always, this is Henry Simon inviting you to meet me here again, and for the present, bidding you not goodbye, but simply au revoir.
This is Grace Gibson again to say good night. Before signing off, you might like to know that Address Unknown was created by Chris Jenkinson, who today is the producer of TV's Beauty and the Beast.
Grace Gibson's Golden Days, highlighting memorable moments from Grace Gibson radio productions.